T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joined by Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet. Wade, Texans Senior Vice President Chris Olsen. He is out, my brother. He is has been the primary negotiator in the organization, one of the best in the business of managing the salary cap and negotiating contracts. He's been with the Texans for 13 years. I believe he held a job with the NFL in some kind of negotiation contract managing type of role for the NFL. This guy's one of the best in the business, man. I mean, he negotiated J.J. Watt's $100 million contract. He negotiated all the contracts and had all the pieces in place, or at least to our knowledge he did, to get the organization into a position where there's roughly $60 million in salary cap space heading into this offseason. This is a very interesting move. We talked earlier about Anthony Weaver taking over for Romeo Crennel with Romeo Crennel's age, Anthony Weaver's background, the timing for Anthony Weaver's good. That move was almost a seamless move. It's right there. It's primed and ready. Pop it in the microwave for a couple of minutes. Boom. Put Anthony Weaver as a defensive coordinator and let's move forward, okay? This one right here, Wade, this one right here is another one of those Bill O'Brien moves that leaves me scratching my head, right? It leaves me scratching my head. It's interesting, Wade, and here's why. Let me set the table for you. It's like kicking a field goal to go up 24-0 on Kansas City when you know you got to score half 100 to win.
Are we really going here?
Yeah. I'm proud of myself for this one, Wade.
You make my stomach hurt.
It's like being up 21-0 and on 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-4, whatever it was, you kicked a field goal to go up 24-0, which, hey, not here to argue whether it was good or bad decision. Who cares at this point, right? But then you turn around less than 5 minutes later and you go for it, backed up on your own 29. And again, regardless of the scheme, you go for it. Just the lack of aggression in one, and then 5 minutes later, the super aggressive move on the fake punt leaves you wondering, what in the hell are we thinking? Like, I'm okay with either. I'm okay with trying to pad that 21-point lead and ride this thing out, or I'm okay with being super aggressive. But now you did both of them in a 5 minute span. Now I'm scratching my head, Wade. Yeah. So let me swing it to this is why this move's interesting to me. The organization, and we can only assume that Chris Olsen had something to do with the Whitney Mercilus deal.
Yeah.
We can only assume that he had something to do earlier in the season. I don't know if it was training camp or week one, but right with the Nick Martin deal. You can only assume those moves were made and involved Chris Olsen heavily, okay? And so you pop them two deals, you lock those two pieces in place. And again, I don't care if people out there, I don't care if you agree with the dollars amount, the values, all that. Forget the details of the negotiation. Chris Olsen took part in those two negotiations. You finished the season, and Wade, you are in priority number one. Forget about going and finding other talent and fixing the defense. Priority number one has to be Deshaun Watson's extension, Laremy Tunsil's extension. What do you do with Bradley Roby? What do you do with DJ Reader? And I'm not saying that some of those guys on the defensive side of the football, that you sign them. It doesn't matter. But when you sign Whitney Mercilus a few weeks ago or a month ago or however long ago it was to an extension at $13 million per year, and then you turn around and fire the guy before you make the arguably the two most, I'm trying to think of two, between Tunsil and
Deshaun
and Watson. Hell, has there been two bigger, since Bill O'Brien's been there, has there been two bigger contracts that need to be negotiated?
No.
So right before those start coming around to being, literally, you're coming around to being, and you can see Deshaun Watson's last year coming up to where you need to renegotiate, or at least negotiate an extension. You fire the guy that some will argue has been the best in the business relative to negotiating contracts. So I ain't banging the move of firing. I'm just sitting there going, how do you go Nick Martin, Whitney Mercilus, in season when you weren't an in-season re-up team. You didn't believe in that. How do you make those changes and then come around to Ben and fire the guy that, for the most part, is known to be responsible for all those negotiations?
So this is where I have to disagree with you, Clint.
Okay.
Because when you mention the fact that he kicked the field goal and then on fourth and two, you kicked the field goal instead of going for it on fourth down and then you backdoor with a fake punt. I agree. That didn't make any damn sense. But see, this move makes absolute perfect sense.
I need you
to
help me make sense of it.
This makes absolute perfect sense to me. And the reason why it makes sense to me is this. All right. Chris Olsen was here in 2006, I believe. He came with like Rick Smith and all that whole.
Yeah, 13 years in.
He, like you said, you're exactly right. He is known as someone in the league from around all circles as somebody that's damn good at his job, right? But if you look at the history of when, since Bill O'Brien has kind of amassed the amount of power he has in the organization, if you don't agree with or if there's any issues as far as you being on the same page of the vision of going forward, what you're going to do, you're going to be gone. And so he's not one of his guys. You got to think, when Bill O'Brien first got here, his only, the part of the organization that he had total control over was players and coaches. So when he came in, he got rid of coaches that were good coaches. And then he brought in his guys, right?
Yeah.
Now that he's the GM, he gets to get rid of front office people and bring in people that are his guys. So to me, and that's normal for every organization in professional sports, and I'm sure in the business world it's the same thing. If you have a position, you come in new into an organization, you're going to get rid of people that are loyal to the old guard and the old way of doing things, and you're going to bring in people to do it the way you want them to be done. And so – Chris Olsen was a guy that when Bill O'Brien got here, there was no way he could say, no, Chris Olsen, I want him out. He didn't have the power to do that, and there was no reasons behind doing that. But what I'm feeling is that this, Bill O'Brien and him are not on the same page going forward of about who they want to pay, how they want to pay them, things of that nature. And so because of that, I'm going to bring in a guy that is part of my regime and let this guy go. And it happens all the time in business. So it doesn't surprise me.
Hold on, wait. Here's what you're telling me. Bill O'Brien's power within this organization is growing as we speak.
Yes, sir.
In a time when I think most people.
Stevie Wonder can see that, bro. Right. Stevie can see that. Ray can see that. It's a lot of people that can see that.
I guarantee you, if I could see 59 out that window over there, you got cars swerving all over the highway. Because I think when you talk about the fan base and when you I think that's worrisome for a lot of people out there. In fact, let's take some phone calls. 713-572-4610. If you're listening, I mean, are you concerned that Bill O'Brien at this point in time, that his not just sitting steady as the head coach, GM, offensive coordinator, his power essentially is growing. And while we wait on those calls, Wade, let's you had a message. You had a message for essentially the fan base. When you and I were talking a little bit earlier, you want to share that with the fan base?
Yeah, man, because I was thinking about that this weekend. I was driving out to Round Rock. My daughter had a volleyball tournament. I was driving just thinking about overall everything that had happened over the past week, the damn Chief game, the KC collapse, and I was thinking about it, and I thought to myself, this is the problem, and this is what Texans fans need to do, because I'm listening to phone calls, people calling in saying, we want Bill O'Brien out of here. We can't stand him. What is it going to take? We're going to get rid of our season tickets. We're going to protest. None of that stuff is going to make a difference or make a change. What you have to understand is this, as a fan of the Houston Texans, you have to recalibrate your timeline from when a decision like that is going to get made, because I feel like the McNairs have recalibrated their timeline. And what that means is this. Until Deshaun Watson gets paid the $140 or $150 million or whatever he's going to get, Bill O'Brien's not on the clock yet. He's not on the clock, because what happens is when you invest that much money into Deshaun Watson and into Laremy Tunsil and all these type of guys, now the owner's like, all right, I've invested, now I need my return on investment. And so if you want to enjoy watching the Houston Texans play, you have to just take Bill O'Brien out of the equation, because he's so unlikable that everybody wants him out, but he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He is not going anywhere. When Chris Olsen gets fired, it further lets you know that Bill O'Brien's not going anywhere. That's not going to happen. So, all right, cool. Let me focus on the part that I can enjoy and get behind, and that's the players, and that's that side of it. It's not going to be, because if you do that, now you'll have peace of mind when you're watching the game. You'll have peace of mind when you're going through the offseason, figuring out who they're going to pick up in the draft. And you can focus in on the part of Bill O'Brien that you do like, is he brought in X, Y, and Z player. He brought in Tunsil. He brought in Hyde. He brought in Duke Johnson. Because if you're going through your day, each and every day, thinking to yourself, how can we get Bill O'Brien out of here? You're going to have a miserable life because he ain't going nowhere. He's got about two, three years before that even comes into play. And the clock doesn't start until Deshaun Watson gets paid.
Let's check these lines, Wade. We got Richard from Katy. Richard, what's going on, my man?
Hey, guys. It's going. How are y'all doing?
Man, we're
doing good, man.
Man, I can't stand Bill O'Brien, the offensive coordinator. Bill O'Brien, the GM, I'm completely fine with. Just like y'all talk about Tunsil and Duke, I love it. But we seriously need an offensive coordinator who's not, I don't know, wimpy when it comes to calling certain plays. But I'm not going to get too much into it, but we need new offensive coordinator. He can stay the head coach and GM.
Hey, Richard, I can't agree with you more, my man. I can't agree with you more. We appreciate you calling in. What about Mike? Mike from Baytown, what's going on, baby?
Hey, what's up, Clint, man? Calling from the Dirty Bay. What's going on?
Hey, the same. Just hanging. That's it with my man Wade. What you got going on?
Hey, just calling in, man. Bill O'Brien, man, he's a con artist. You know, you cannot be the GM. You cannot be the head coach and the offensive coordinator all at one time. I don't know what he's telling them people over there off of Kirby, but he has them fooled. And I would be saying this even if we were on the way to the Super Bowl right now. That's the way I feel about him. He needs to go, and I think we need to get Josh McDaniels from the Patriots.
Ooh, Josh McDaniels. I imagine he would be an odds on favorite if the position came available. I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, baby.
They keep telling us we need to stop getting people from the Patriots, man. But I think just Josh McDaniels would bring a lot of knowledge and a big big thing to Houston.
You got it, Mike. Thanks for calling, brother. I appreciate it. I hope you hold things down over in the Dirty Bay until I get back. Look, our first caller alluded to it, man. I think the defensive coordinator position was I think we could probably see that coming down the pipeline. Anthony Weaver is now the Houston Texans defensive coordinator. Romeo Crennel is out as a defensive coordinator.